We trust in the trustworthiness of God. Everything begins, ends, and is there. When we receive Christ as our Savior, this is the Old Testament. But don't make the mistake of thinking that the God of the Old Testament is different than the God that we serve. His grace, mercy, and truth is all through the Old Testament. We have this tendency to think of the Old Testament, and the first thing that comes to our mind is Ten Commandments. Those Ten Commandments were given for the purpose to reveal to man that he needed a Savior. We can't keep those Ten Commandments. We need a Savior. In God's ultimate and eternal plan that he planned before he even put it all together was Jesus Christ was going to come to earth. Live the Christian life in front of man. And then to suffer and die on the cross for each and every individual on the planet. All sin has been paid for. And the difference being, of course, that we personalize it. We trust, place our faith in the Lord. It says, trust in the Lord and do good so that thou shalt dwell in the land and verily thou shalt be fed. It's an active trust. We trust and we do. That is part of our trusting. We desire then to do good. And this isn't just good deeds. This is a life that God, that we know God, would have us to live. We do good. We think good. It's included compassion, understanding. I just mentioned it, and I mentioned it a lot for the simple fact that God really touched my heart one time when I was reading through the Gospels. If you want to know how the Christian life is to be led, look at the life of Christ. No, we can't live it perfectly. But his life, in his life, he faced and felt everything that we feel. He was rejected, so he's experienced the rejection of men. He understands that feeling because he was human. He definitely understood physical pain. And when he was on the cross, he understood the separation from God due to sin when he was paying the price. Says he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might receive the righteousness of God in him. Now we understand that in the view of justification, that we are now, our slate is clean because of it. However, if that same righteousness, we should have a desire, when we've trusted Christ, we should have a desire to live righteously. And we know that from the Word of God. We trust the Lord. We actively do good. Now, in the Old Testament, what it says here, shalt thou dwell in the land. Now, the land meant a lot to the Jews because there was the promised land, which in comparison would be our home that we are traveling to. That Christ says, I'm going to go away and prepare a place for you. I'm going to come back and bring you home. And that's where we're going. When we're saved, we receive eternal life. We are no longer subject, soul-wise, to this land. Yes, we're going to physically die, but that's the only one. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord instantaneously. So we're living that eternal life now. We have our eternal purpose. Now, if we trust the Lord and we understand what he has done for us, now we should have that desire to live for him. And that's what starts to happen. And there's changes in our lives. Moody, Dale Moody told a story about a woman who, he says he was preaching and he looked down and she was just like staring right into him. And he says, I need to talk to that lady. So afterwards he went down and was talking to her. And she says, for 3 years I've been seeking God and I haven't found him. And he said, well, being Dale Moody, you can probably get away with this. Obviously you're not seeking for him, but he's been seeking for you. He says, there's no way that if he's seeking for you and you're seeking for him, that you won't come together. And it all came down to the fact, he says, well, what do you, you need to believe. She says, well, that's all they ever say, believe, 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 but I don't understand that. That doesn't help. So he changed the word to trust. And she understood that. She understood rely on, trust, believe in that respect, which is all the same. But she turned out to be, for the meetings that he was in, he said she led more people to the Lord from that. It's a trust in the Lord, and it is a do good. It is a definite, heartfelt, I want to respond. Part of that conversation with her was some people were talking about their experience when they believed. And they're all excited. And she's like, well, it turned out that she had, 3 years before, she understood and believed. But she didn't understand that that's what it was all about. From then on, he called people into a room who were interested in salvation. He says, I was confused. Her and I had that conversation. She got up and went in there. He gets in there, and she was the one, and she just received Christ. She's in there counseling other people. It causes action. It should cause action in our lives. It should be an excitement. There should be a constant excitement in our lives. The dwell in the land. We trust, we do, and we live the life. We live the life of righteousness. Now we can now live that life. Without Christ himself says, without me, you can do nothing. 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 But all things are possible for those who believe. It says, and verily you will be fed. Now, the reference is, you're in the land and everything, you will be supplied. You will be provided. And God has provided for us every single thing we need in our Christian life. What happens? You get excited. You get excited because you're doing righteously. You're living. You can tell the difference in your life. And now you want to do something and you find yourself delighting and watching everything God is doing in your life. You're seeing things happen. You're seeing people being saved. You're seeing people change. People that you've known for years, suddenly they're just completely different. Their conversation is different because they have trusted. And it causes you to delight now in what God is doing. And God says, well, if you delight yourself, verse 3, in me, delight thyself in the Lord. And what happens? He gives you the desires of your heart. Oh, good. I'm going to write that down. Let's see. First, I want a Cadillac. None of those things will ever, ever, ever give you delight. In fact, let one of those electronic monsters break down on you once. There's nothing delightful about that. But God's faithfulness, God's love, God's mercy, God's working in your life, and God's care for you, each one of us, always brings a delight. And if it's not, then we need to wake up and find out why. If we trust in the Lord and we believe the Word of God, and it says trust in the Lord, and you will delight in him, and he will give you the desires of your heart. If that's not happening, what's wrong? Because it's not him. He doesn't change. He's always the same. The idea of delighting in him, when you see things happening in people's lives around you, And the way in which people respond to you, it's different. They see something there. They need to see something there. They should see something there. Because when Christ enters a life, there is a change. Those who are in Christ become new creatures, a whole new creation, because you're born again. And that's why what I'm sharing here is the Christian life. This doesn't happen overnight. When you were born, you didn't get up the next morning and say, "Mom, what's for breakfast?" You're a babe in Christ. You start out as a babe. We should grow. We should grow, and we grow by obeying. And we obey because we read the instructions. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We grow in our faith. We grow in Christ. We grow to understand that when we apply trust, it's in every aspect of our life because he is faithful. We trust in the trustworthiness of God. He does not lie. When he says something, he means it. We discussed on Sunday night that put him to the test. God promises this. Let's find out if that's true. And I don't mean that in a rude way. He delights in giving to us good things. Says so. So seek good things. It says that when we trust in the Lord, we do good things that we can only do through the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. And that only works when we submit to it, which is part of the whole trusting idea. There is, in the idea of desiring, having your desires filled, there's nothing there about that has anything to do with the world. It is the life that we live. Our life should be exemplary. It should be, when people see us, they need to see Christ. When they see us, they say, "I wish I could live like that. I wonder what they got. What makes him so calm during the storm?" When you delight in him and you start to see how he starts to say, you start praying for other people. You start praying for more power in your own life. You start praying that God will allow you to understand what he has planned. And then you come up to a point and you need to make a decision. And it comes so much easier when you commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. That's all. You trust, you start to live it, you delight in the Lord. He's just blessing, and he will continue. It is not without storm. It is not without testing. Those things are necessary. You will not grow on the hilltop if you stay up there. And as you've probably heard many times, you're on this hilltop. To get to that hilltop, you got to go through the valley. But he's with us every moment, all the time. He does understand your pain. He does understand your trial. He does, because he's right there. Give me your hand. Child, I'll walk you through this. And I'm sure you've seen the concept about the footsteps. And there's two sets. And suddenly, during this period, there's only one. This is my child. That's when I was carrying you. So he is always there. He is always there. Now, we've got an important decision to make. We commit it to him. He knows. In his foreknowledge, he knows what's going to happen. But he does not force us. He wants us to be at the point where we have trusted him, we are doing what he says, we're obeying him, and we are delighting in him. And what happens? It's so easy to say, "Okay, Lord, You come to him first. Don't make that decision because you see, well, I see all the facts, so I'm a smart guy. I know how to figure this out. I can make this work. And you make a decision without even stopping to say, Lord, this is an important step. What would you have me do? As I've said before, now he's spoke to me before, but not the verbal voice. Someone will come up and say something and you go, and it's a key to exactly what you've been thinking. It's the one, it's the door opens. But God will make his answer known to you through his word, through others, through prayer. He desires for us to learn to trust him always. And as we commit ourselves to him, and that in itself shows the trust, he's going to answer. He's going to answer, and it might not be the answer we want. Might be no. Or it might be, wait. You're not ready for it? Are you really sincere? You need to think about this more? Or I've got something else to add? It says in verse 6, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. God will honor our trust in him. We are all, each one, individual. Therefore, we're all, each one, at a different place. Nobody is ahead of somebody else. Because if Christ comes right now, we all go together. There is no race against one another. The race is just to get home and glorify him by bringing others with us. But while we're here, and our commitment, our loving him with all our heart, mind, and soul, and strength, he honors that. He always, over and over and over, read the scriptures, it'll tell you, it shows over and over and over, David and all these guys, even David when he fell and he comes back and he prays, you understand that the word of God says David should have died for what he did. But God's mercy has never changed. God's grace has always been there. And that's what we live by. It's the fact that he loves us, understands that we are what we are. And that when we're living our life for him, yeah, we're going to have those moments. But he's always there. And he will honor. And he will bring your righteousness, understanding that we have our righteousness is that for which we receive from him. He's speaking here of the life of righteousness, or in other words, obedience. He's very keen on obedience. That's what happened to King Saul, remember? King Saul decided to make his own decision because he knew what God needed. What happened? He did not commit his way into the Lord. He was not faithful, and God says, God took back then, God took the spirit away from him and gave it to King David, who he was trying to kill. Going right along with that, we see over and over in the scriptures, in the Old Testament, how God blessed David. Okay, he blessed David. Did he bless him with a new chariot and great bands and celebration? No, he's running from a guy who he refuses to harm because he respects God's anointed. He would not lift a finger against God's anointed. He obeyed, but he did not have an easy... He was chased and chased and chased, and he didn't do anything wrong. The guy that's been chased around all over the place and this guy's trying to kill him is the very guy who saved Israel from Goliath. And he did it because he said, you're not coming up against us. You're coming up against my God. I'm not going to have that. He stood when everybody else is, oh, look at that guy. He's huge. I understand that. Everybody's like that to me. But he comes up with the old... I mean, that in itself, it's, again, God always shows his power through you. Don't think that you have to know everything about the Bible. Don't think that you have to have an education, a specific education. God loves you and can use you just as you are. David had the little sling because God wants to show his power. When you do something for God and it turns out that great things happen, I guarantee you that it was something that you're going to stand back and say, how did that happen? Why? Because God will put you in a position to say, I want to use you, but they're going to know it was my power behind that. And as long as we're willing to give, commit our way into him and allow him to work, great things will happen. Great things will happen. Again, it doesn't happen overnight. For some, it can. You might be right on the brink right now. You just make that decision. You know, Lord, I haven't really surrendered this to you. And all of a sudden, things change. We learn just as much, of course, through the things that we face that are bad as we do the good. We begin, when we delight in the Lord and he gives us the desires of our heart, we commit our ways to him, we begin to look like Christ. You want the Christ life? Read the scriptures. Read the New Testament. The whole time, he was God in the flesh. Totally God at that moment, every moment that he was on this earth. But he chose, and he says it over and over and over, what you see me do is from the Father. And when he would pray, he already knew he was God. He says, I already know this, but for these that are listening, I want them to know this is from you. He says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He says, I'm going to glorify you. He says, my Father glorified me. He's going to glorify me again. And Jesus Christ, in his foreknowledge, knew every pain he was going to face for us. He is not going to put us through too much. But he can use us. Some of the greatest men of God are those who have submitted themselves to him. And no matter what happens, some of these missionaries face unbelievable odds. But they trust in God. They trust him. And he does. And he performs. Verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. This is not the rest. Okay, I've had enough. You rest in the Lord because of everything we just talked about. When you trust him and you really relaxed in him, you rest. You have rest. God is God. He's still on the throne. He's still in control of every aspect of everything he has created. That includes our lives. It's my life. We are able to rest. Remember, right at the beginning, God created heavens and earth. Day one, day two, this is good, this is good. And then God rested. When we trust in the Lord, one real aspect there we have to understand, you can't do anything. When we allow him to have his way in our life, we will finally perform what he desires for our lives. And it is so much more than the life that we live in this flesh, because it's going to be so much more when we leave this flesh. He's really not asking for too much, just everything. We believe one another. I have people that actually ride with me when I'm driving. That's faith. What I'm trying to say is we can believe each other. We believe you guys are all sitting on the pew. You believe that pew is fine. And I bet you didn't even think about it That's the kind of faith he wants. He wants us to have faith that today is a wonderful day. And you wake up and the house is being taken and your car you just had a wreck with your car. And everything possible physically has happened to you. You're walking with a limp. God is still in control. He's still in control. And he says, all that stuff, I work to the good. And the last thing, which isn't so easy for us, wait. I'm sure you've heard it, the man praying for patience. And I want it now. Yeah, you better pray for patience. God is in no hurry. We are eternal beings. What are you in a hurry for? Yes, I want to go from now to the greatest, strongest Christian that ever lived on the face of the earth. But you don't get there that way. You get there with all the steps that you have to take to get there. And that's where we wait on the Lord. When you commit your way to him, sometimes the answer is not right there. And that's why I brought up that when we pray, sometimes the answer is wait. I've got something better planned. This is the right one, but you've got to be prepared. Do you really mean this? Let's see if you'll pray for this again. Are you going to bring it in and then you don't get the answer, so you just leave it? Whatever you go through, whatever you're facing at any moment, any time in your life, as a believer, he's right there. Trust him. When we trust in the Lord, we learn to live for him. As we live for him, we learn to delight ourselves in him. We easily commit our ways to him because we know that trusting him has brought such a good life to us. And we know that we can entrust ourselves totally to him. Every single part of us, we open ourselves to him. And then we relax. We relax and see great things happen. We relax as we serve him. We relax because he's not a God of judgment, he's a God of love. All of us need to learn this. Trust in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God that you are. A God that we can trust because we know that you have our best in mind for each and every one of us. You desire for us to allow you to live your life through us so that we might feel the joy of your salvation in every aspect of our lives. Everything in our life will be worked out for the good because you love us. You loved us so much that your Son gave himself for us. Pray, Father, that we stay in your word and in prayer. And we look forward to the things you're going to do as we learn to trust you. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.